Okay. I want to add my welcome to everyone. There were a few bulletins put back on that back box. If anybody didn't get yours, you can go grab one. Just wanted to let those college students know who got those Frisbees full of chocolate chip cookies and other assorted ones. Chocolate chip cookies rock. Chocolate chip cookies. I love them. So blessed to be a blessing. Give them away. All right, we're going to talk about generosity today. We're doing a series on our values. We have 8 different values. I forgot them in the first service, but I saved face and had them written down for me in second service. So now I can act like I have it together. Thank you to our creative team who put some of the values on the backdrop. I just want to say, for any construction people, if you're wondering, yes, this is that wire mesh grid that you use to put in the foundation of poured floors. That is the most creative use of stuff, construction material. Way to go, creative team. Love how you've reminded us of our values. Okay, so this summer, college kids, welcome back. While you were gone, we did a series on the Lord's Prayer from Luke 11. We started that right at the end of May, carried it through the summer, and then we picked up a series, an expository series, where we went verse by verse through the book of 1 Peter, and we went through all 5 chapters, learned how to embrace grace and hope in the face of suffering. And so for you college kids who are back and you love this church and it feels like home to you, you only have 13 messages to listen to before next week. They're all on the web. Get it done. That's your course syllabus. College kids, welcome back. We love you. So glad you're here. So in addition to sharing your chocolate chip cookies, you got to listen to 13 messages in the next week. All right. So we are doing a sermon series on values, and values matter to us. Values are something that need to be more than just words and slogans. So I'm going to talk a little bit about values, then we're going to move into the value that we're going to launch this series with, and that's generosity. So values are more than just words. Values identify what is important to us, and they guide our behavior. Values are so important to us that we pass them on to other generations. For those of us who take part in mentoring ministry, who disciple new believers, we pass on our values, our relationship with Christ to the next generation. And Paul does wonderful job of chronicling that for us in Timothy, in his disciple Timothy. So we pass what is important to us on to future generations. Values are 2 things, at least. Values are descriptive of what is, and values describe what we aspire to. Okay? So when we talk about a value, it needs to be something that actually we embody and exhibit presently. It's what's true already. And we want to see more of that become true. So when we list these values, we're saying these matter to us. We walk in these things, but we are interested in even more of an expression of this value. Okay? So values are descriptive and values are aspirational. Put that one on your Scrabble board and score big points. All right? So values describe what is already true, and they describe what we seek to be even truer. All right, so just to give you an idea of what a value is. So if I told you right now that at Grace Covenant Church, we put a high priority on formal attire and formal appearance really matters to us. Yeah, see? A few of you are like, and you say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Yeah, see? So we are an informal group of people, and we value informalness. We value cultural relevancy, and we're going to get to that one much later in the game. But for example, if I also said, we at Grace Covenant Church really place a high priority and a high value on traditional historical forms of liturgy in the historic church, you'd say, wow, haven't really seen that. That's a shock, right? Now, we believe that we should be culturally relevant. David already in introducing communion. Communion is one of the traditions of our church. We've been having communion on the first Sunday, it seems like forever, from the life of the church since it was started. And I remember, because I was around, that the very first few years of communion, we used real wine and we used one cup. And we all took communion from one cup. Now, if we had done that this morning, and it's fine for people who do, but if we had done that this morning, some of you would have said, no, thank you. I think the alcohol helped take care of whatever was left on the rim of the cup by the person before you, maybe. These things just go backwash. Can you imagine? Okay, so we still observe communion, but we do it in a way that is relevant today so that it is accessible to everybody. So we don't have alcohol because it is a barrier for some people. And we don't all drink from one cup because there's all kinds of issues that have come into play in the last 30 years regarding that. So we stay true to the faith, but we keep it relevant to the expression that is appropriate today. Okay, so values are true of who we are. They describe our identity as well as what we want to become more of. And I just want us to hold on to this one teaching in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is making wonderful point after wonderful point. It's just profound. And in this message, he's teaching the people that they can discern the truth about people by observing their actions. And this is how he says it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. Yes, you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. And you can identify people by their values, by how we act. Okay? So as we look at our eight core values and we begin today with generosity, it should be no surprise that generosity has been a fabric of our church from the very beginning. All right? And so what I wanted to say, and if you were in first service, you may not participate in this. Some of you linger on and want to play the game again. So here it is. I've got 40 years ago today, something incredibly significant in the life of this church happened. And I'm wondering if anybody here, raise your hand, don't blurt it out. Raise your hand if you think you know. Go. 40 years ago today, something incredibly important. Yes, I see that hand in the back. And it was, what do you think it was, Karen? Our founding pastor and church planner, who had moved his family of three young kids to this community, planted Church in the Valley. 9 years later, Church in the Valley became two churches, Grace Covenant Church, of which we're a branch of that tree. We are here today because of the faithful, sacrificial work of one family, our founder, Dick and Becky Blackwell. And they were here in first service, and we gave them a standing ovation and made a big to-do about it. And Karen, what you get for being right is $40. So, yeah, come on down. I feel like I'm playing a game show right now. Generosity. 40 years ago today, church, we're here because of, we're standing, really, we're standing on the foundation of faithfulness of a church planter and faithful servant of God, a pastor. And he was a real, true shepherd, not a false one. And we are not only generous as a church because our Father in heaven is generous, we're a generous church because the generosity that flowed out of that founding pastor and his family. I told a couple stories in first service while I was thanking him and honoring him. I've had the privilege of vacationing with Dick and his family a couple times. Once when I was a teenager, and what I remember most were pillow fights. and then more recently, when our children were young, we got to vacation with them at Coles Point and play on the water there. And when you enjoy Dick and Becky's hospitality, you are fed like royalty, and you are cared for, and it is amazing. And so We have our Heavenly Father who has imparted that to us, and we have our founding pastor who has imparted generosity to us. Values matter. They identify who we are and what we want to be known as, and they describe who we are and who we are becoming, who we aspire to be. Generosity is part of God's character and nature, and it's reflected in just about every attribute of God. As we begin this series, I want to just plow through a bunch of evidences of generosity, of abundance in Scripture, and we're going to do that in a minute. Before we do, I want us to just see what the value statement is for Grace Covenant Church in the area of generosity, okay? And we're going to say this all together, just so you get a chance. Maybe this will be the one chance you really have had to read it. It's on our website now. It'll be on the Wowie Kazowie new website on Tuesday, so go check it out. All right, let's say it together. God is good and lavishly generous, giving us an abundant life in Christ, marked by unfailing love and extravagant grace. Our enthusiastic response is to also be loving, gracious, extravagant, and generous to others. Way to go, church. Okay, now, for those who take notes the old school way, you can jot this down. For those of you who want to just take a picture with your phone, in case we don't get through all of this, we're going to go at warp speed. So here, this is the opposite of expository preaching, where we stay in one text and camp out there. This is jumping over the breadth of Scripture to see the impact that abundance and generosity has. Okay? Generosity, God's generous heart is shown in the abundant life he promises us. Yes, I am the gate, John 10, verse 9 says. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief, his purpose is to kill and steal and destroy. My purpose is to give us, them, a rich and satisfying life. A rich and satisfying life. The Amplified Version says, my purpose is that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's abundant life, church. A rich, fulfilling, generous life. God's generosity is shown in abundant love and mercy. Ephesians 2, verse 4. In the Amplified, it says, God, so rich is he in mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. This is how it reads in the Message paraphrase, starting in verse 3. God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus. Awesome. Love, mercy. Abundant grace. God's generosity is shown in abundant grace. Verse 7, later on here in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. This is how it reads in the Amplified. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, the limitless, the surpassing riches of his free grace, his kindness, and his goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Generosity is shown in abundant forgiveness. Luke 7. Dave already referenced this in his meditation for communion. This is the story of Jesus at home with Simon. And he's telling Simon something. He says, I tell you, this woman who came and washed his feet with her tears, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. In the Message, it says it this way. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and she is very, very grateful. Gratitude leads us then to love. Abundant power. God's generosity is shown in abundant power. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. God's generosity is shown in abundant promises. 2 Peter 3. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable us to share his divine nature. God's generosity is shown in abundant wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should go ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to him. How amazing would it be, church, if all of us gave generously to all without finding fault? God's generosity is shown in abundance of the Holy Spirit. In Titus 3, this is what Paul says. When God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Life, new birth through the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, he generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that is not an exhaustive list of all of Scripture, but that is just a start, and that's all that fits on one slide. Time wouldn't permit us to go even further, but this is just a portion of God's amazing, extravagant, lavish goodness that is shown in all of these different attributes. God is infinitely, exceedingly, abundantly good and generous with us. And that's our foundation for being generous ourselves. We don't have any logical reason to not be generous when we embrace the truth of all of that Scripture, right? But the truth also is that we honestly struggle at times being generous, even though we have received so much. And so why is that? Well, we're not going to develop all of these barriers today. We're going to identify them quickly and move on, because we'll develop it more in future messages. But one of the barriers to being generous is fear. There is a fear in us that I would call the lie of scarcity. And that fear is that if I'm generous and I give people the stuff, my goods, my possessions, my resources, my time, my finances, my relationship, if I give people, then I'm going to lack. That's such a lie. That is a lie from the darkness of hell. I remember how powerful that whole fear of scarcity can get a grip on us. I have no comprehension of what the Great Depression was like. We can read stories of it, but I have grandparents, Grandma and Grandpa Shank, who were married right at the start of the Great Depression, started having their children and family in those years, and she was incredibly frugal. And I remember making rugs out of plastic bags. She would make rugs out of rags. She, right now it's very fashionable to upcycle and to repurpose things. If you met people who grew up through the Depression, they would show you some real resourcefulness. And so then over the decades, the Lord blessed my grandparents, and they had incredible financial resources and provision, and they were very secure financially, wealthy by world standards. And we were gathering for a Christmas get-together. I have two uncles, a lot of cousins, and we would come, and Grandma would spend all day cooking, and then she'd spend all evening and all night cleaning dishes. And we would never have time to really spend with her, because she was always getting ready for her. Her love language, obviously, was service. But she would stay in the kitchen. And so we had this great idea, and somehow she bought it, that we're going to use paper plates and plasticware, and we're going to clean up in 3 minutes, and Grandma can come out of the kitchen and be with us in the evening while we're fellowshipping. And so literally, I have this image in my head as a young boy walking into the kitchen And everybody's like, and grandma is pulling the paper plates and the plastic out of the trash can, and she's washing it. Now, as a young boy, I knew that was messed up. And you know that too. But you know that we wouldn't do that, but you know that's the way we live. When we're treating one another with our walls up and acting like if I extend a little bit, then I won't have enough. We are so clingy, and we see it in other people. God, help us see when we behave that way. And when we do, it's messed up, church. Scarcity is a lie. Greed is another reason that is a barrier for us being generous. Frankly, we love money more than we love God. At times. Speak to us, Lord. So fear of scarcity, greed, loving money more than God. Another contributor to us not being generous is pride. We wrongly think that everything that God has blessed us with is ours, and I will control it, and I will do what I want with it, and it's mine. It's mine. That is such a prideful posture. Nothing. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, you and me included, and it's His. Mine ought to get out of everybody's vocabulary. But later. Mike's going to talk about stewardship. He'll get us all solved on that one next week. A fourth contributor to us being, a barrier to us being generous is the abuse and the distortion of God's generosity by false prophets and fraudulent Christian leaders. There's a thing that it's so prevalent, it has a name, it's called a prosperity gospel, that I can peddle the gospel and line my pockets as a Christian leader and tell everybody it's God's plan for them to have everything and, oh, by the way, give it to me, and then I can fly around the world in a corporate jet and sacrifice for Jesus. I'm being a little harsh here, but don't let the abuses of other Christian leaders keep you from the real expression of generosity that God desires His body to exhibit, okay? All right. Those are barriers, but we're not going to get hung up on barriers. We're going to be a generous people because our Heavenly Father is generous and abundant and lavish and extravagant. And because we are His kids and we've been given new life into His family, we have His DNA. We are created in the image of God and we will resemble Him. And we are given a new life, as David so wonderfully depicted here, we begin to look like and behave like our spiritual ancestry. Isn't that awesome? So that's what we're growing into. We are generous, and we are becoming more and more generous. And when will we be too generous? We won't be, church. I highlighted the gift of hospitality and service that our founding pastor exhibited. You know, when we have the body of Christ here in this room is really diverse, and I love it. And there are all kinds of different gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in an operation in our midst. And some of them, like gifts of service and gifts of giving and gifts of hospitality, gifts of help, those spiritual gifts lend themselves, you can really connect them quickly to this generosity gift, right? One of the things, just to highlight, funeral and memorial services are a particularly impactful time in families' lives. And very recently, we were blessed. We weren't blessed that Eddie Good was taken from this world, but we were blessed to serve his family in the memorial service. And they were like every other family I've served here. They were just, they could not quit talking about what a blessing this church is to them in their time of grief because of the care, because of the gifts of compassion ministry that Mary Van Pelt leads, puts on this meal, and the family gets served in a really wonderful way, and then they take all the food home with them. And one of the guys in the family is joking, said, "Well, you know, what do we pay you guys?" And I was like, "Nada. This is who we are. This is what we do." And we can sometimes take things for granted when we're in a family, and it takes outside guests at times to highlight something and see, that's really unusual. We are generous, and we aspire to be more generous because our Heavenly Father is the gold standard for generosity. Okay? So I just want to ask you this question. This one, I loved this whole genre of commercials, and I don't even remember which one to give credit, but it would go something like, which is better? And he would ask these little kids thing. So here you go, church. Which is better? Hanging out with a stingy, miserly, selfish, tightwad person? Or hanging out with a lavish, hospitable, extravagant, bountiful, abundant, loving person? Yeah. So who would you rather hang out with the rest of this Labor Day weekend? So who would you rather be? Because it is God's nature, because he is so generous towards us, and because we are his children, we will reflect his DNA. As we grow in our gratitude and our love, we will begin to exhibit his generous heart even more and more to a hungry and thirsty world. You know, church, it is incongruent, it is a contradiction for people like you and me to be recipients of abundant grace, of undeserved mercy, of incredible forgiveness, and then to be stingy, selfish people in return. It just makes no sense. Thank you, Lord, for your exceedingly great love at work in our lives that will produce a generous spirit in each one of us. Earlier this year, one more little picture of generosity that I am so proud of you all. Earlier this year, I highlighted the fact that I was giving a message and I was talking about some prophetic words that had been given over this church over 15 years ago. And one of those prophetic words was, God's going to pour out blessing on this church, and this church is going to give millions into the mission field. Like millions. That's seven digits, church. Right? And I was like, and so I was the missions guy at the time, and I was the executive pastor, so I went and did the numbers. And at that point in time, as best as I could tell in the history of the church, we had not quite given a million yet, or right at. And then I did all the numbers here this year, and the prophecy is becoming true. This church has been blessed by God and has blessed and put over $5 million into missions. Okay? That's great. But that isn't the finish line. We haven't been too generous yet, church. There is so much more that we are going to explore and experience and partner with. And most recently, here's a little story. So 15 years ago, we established Mike and Marilyn Hughes, 16 years ago. Okay, I think they went in the late 90s. And we built a base of ministry and mission work there in Saltillo, and we developed that property, and we paid for it in cash, and because of generosity of this church and its members. And then they came off the mission field, and God led us to sell that property at a wonderful discount and a wonderful value to another like-minded mission, and they're using it now. And we got the proceeds of that check. It sold for $250, and we got it for what's left over after taxes and other things with $235. We could have spent every bit of that $235,000 to help pay towards the renovation that we did in that lobby last year. And that would have been a fine stewardship decision. No problem with that. If we had done that, God would be pleased. He would be fine with it. But as we prayed as a leadership team, we were like, generosity. It's who we are, and it's who we want to become more of. And so the majority of that $235 that landed in our bank account is already being sent back out to missionaries and that we partner with all around the world. And if you want to have a party, give people five-figure checks. You know, I could not have much more fun than hearing Mike talk about some of the responses of the people who we've been giving those generous gifts to as we partner with them. And I just want to say, that's where we are. That's true of us today. It's going to be more true, church. Millions is nothing. If you're like, okay, Merle, exaggeration just got into your sermon. No, I'm telling you, God, he has more commas than you have brain power. He does. Okay. Here's a wonderful verse. God blessed Abraham. This was his promise in Genesis 12. He says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And this is right after he tells him, go where I'm telling you to go. And that was it. He was like, leave home. Don't know where you're going. Go. And he says, and this is what I'll do. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. We aren't generous to manipulate God, twist his arm into giving us stuff so we can hold it. He says, I will bless you because that's who I am, and you will be a blessing to others because that's who you are in me. Okay? So generosity is one of those things that just flows out of us, and it blesses people and it glorifies God. It is awesome. So we respond as generous people to God's loving generosity in us. Generosity, worship team, you can come up. Generosity is a key value here at Grace Covenant Church. And the source of our generosity is the very character and nature of God. He has exceedingly, abundantly given us life, love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, power, promises, wisdom, Holy Spirit, and much, much more. And as I was preparing this message, I got into the Amplified Version a lot because it has a lot of words and a lot of adjectives to add to these things. And here's what it says. He says, now to him, and I'm going to forget the first parenthetical, now to him who by the action of his power that is at work within us. Whose power is it, church? His power. It's his character. It's his nature. It's his generosity at work within us. It's able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly. I wasn't even sure that was a word, but I'm a new fan of that word. Super abundantly, far above, over and above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Infinitely beyond your highest prayer. That's just amazing. That's our amazing God. He's put that kind of power in us. Okay? I recognize there are things that come against us, that tempt us, to be small, to be selfish, to be greedy, to be uncharitable. But we're not going to let those things hold us back or define us. Okay, church? The remedy, when we are feeling tempted to be miserly, or we're tempted to respond in fear, or when we're tempted to be prideful and think we're in control of it all, or when we fall in love with anything other than God, the remedy is to step out in faith into practical ways that reflect the generous quality and nature of our God. Take tiny, small, practical steps. It's amazing, the power of just moving in the right direction. Okay, quick story, because you can laugh. Yesterday, I got, you know, it's amazing. If you want to be tested in an area of your life, preach on it one time. How about that, Mike? Yeah. Mike is in Humble City right now. We live where we preach because God is that way. So yesterday, Sue and I are going shopping, and we're looking at furniture, just a few things. And the key word was shopping. See, I'm a buyer. I don't shop. Shopping's a waste of time. But we went shopping, and I love her dearly, and so we went shopping. So first stop, we go into this furniture store, and I actually was happy because I know we're shopping. We're not buying, so we're looking. And I got all the way through that store. We didn't really see anything, and I didn't have a single salesperson to deal with. The next store, this really happy salesperson greets us at the door, the one where you get a Coke. And I'm not making eye contact with him because I'm not buying. And so he greets us real warm, and we're walking down the main aisle to see some things. And my wife turns and says, make eye contact. And pretty much. Okay, I exaggerated. Yeah, he said, when he speaks to you, look at him. I want you to know that my communicating guru wife has a remedial student on her hands. See, I didn't want to look at somebody. I'm not buying. And so we get through that experience, and I start listening, and I'm starting to enjoy the shopping experience. And the salesperson's quite nice. We go to the next store, and I get it right from the very door. And I greet him, and I'm making friends with the salesperson, and I don't know, I'm not buying, but I had a blast shopping with my wife for furniture I knew I wasn't buying. It doesn't take much effort to have a generous spirit with people. It just doesn't, church. When you leave here today, if any of you is going out to lunch, do a crazy tip on it. You know what? Christians in the valley ought to be known as the ridiculous, extravagant tippers. People should be like, oh, there is a car with a gray sticker on the back. I want that person when they come in my door at my table because I will be loaded by the end of this. That ought to be the case with Christians, yeah? What's even more fun is when somebody comes into a restaurant and you see them and you know them, is you go and you pay for them and they don't even know it. It's so awesome. There are so many simple ways to step in the right direction of generosity. You can do it here. Maybe some of you have been coming for a while and you've been blessed by the sermon, or you've been blessed by the wonderful worship, or you've been blessed by the faith-filled prayers that people have prayed for you, or maybe blessed spiritually, you just love the bathrooms here. I know I do now. After that renovation, like, you keep an amazing house with us, babe, but I'll use the bathroom here at church any day, hands down. Our UPS guy will make plans to use the bathroom as he's dropping. It's awesome. Maybe you like the coffee. I don't know. Maybe you've been coming and you've been blessed, but you've never given any kind of gift to this church. God doesn't need it and we don't need it. But you need to do it in order to develop the generous DNA that God has for each one of you. Let's stand up. Here's another practical one. Christy is our amazing event coordinator, and she's going to oversee the party that we're throwing next week when we have our picnic. Maybe you've been coming here and you feel like you haven't connected with very many people. If you want to get to know the body of Christ, then get in the generosity stream and serve on Sunday. And you will make incredible relationships and you will meet incredible people by serving. That's the way it is in the body of Christ. He didn't come to be served. This might come as a shock to you, but we don't have church on Sunday morning to serve you. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And if that's who he is, that's who we are becoming. And we come to serve one another and to bless others. And we have been blessed and we will bless others. Okay. I don't think I covered everything, but I've been talking about lunch and you all tipping people crazy, so you're eager to go do it. I can just see it in your eyes. Bow your heads. Minister team, come on up. We want to pray in faith. If you just need God to move in his incredible goodness and power, abundant love and grace and mercy, wisdom, if you need to connect with any of those amazing qualities of our God in prayer over any issue in your life, then get up here when I say amen and let these wonderful people who are full of faith pray for you. And if not, you'll be dismissed when I finish this benediction. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have blessed us to be a blessing. So Lord, thank you for the generosity that this church was founded with. Thank you that it reflects your character and nature. Thank you that it is a wonderful representation of our founding pastor. But Lord, make us more generous than we are today. We haven't arrived. We have not crossed the finish line. We desire to be more crazy, more ridiculous, more extravagant, generous in every way, in serving, in honoring other people, in giving gifts, in giving our stuff away. Whatever we have is not ours, Lord, it's yours. Be Lord of all of our lives. Do whatever you want with whatever we have for your glory and to bless others. In Jesus' name, send us out that way. Amen.